Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The Beast. The Man.
You gotta beat the Man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, it's got about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it? It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network, onlineworldofwrestling.com. Our toll-free number each and every week, if you wish to join us on the program, is brought to you by undergroundradio.com, which is 877-588-9877, option one. If you are an internet person and you go, I don't want to dial phonage, forget that stuff. Well, you got Skype, you can get us. Type Sir Rockin' in your search, Adam, and then you can be joined into the show this evening. This night is presented by the anniversary of one of the greatest alternative albums ever. Yeah, I just said ever, and I know I'm not supposed to say that because then 45 people will jump on and go, well, it really isn't that good, dude. Yeah, it is. This is the anniversary of the release of Nine Inch Nails' Pretty Hate Machine, which is one of the most imitated CDs, tapes, albums, depending on whatever you were born in. Trent Reznor, if you're a fan of the movies, might be up for an Academy Award for the score to the highly, highly recommended The Social Network film, which is about Facebook, which we'll talk about Facebook with all of us later, and the pros and cons of having a Facebook page, including a WrestleBook page, which we'll talk about in a moment or two as well. During the second hour of tonight's program, we will delve into everything that is TNA Wrestling as they head to Final Resolution, which is December 5th, I believe. And don't forget, December 7th, we will be doing a special Dimebag Darrell Abbott tribute night. We already played Beatles music earlier in the year, so we'll possibly also do a John Lennon tribute as that is the anniversary of his assassination. So Kevin Scott's second hour, in a few moments we will be joined by the Spud Guy, who is on grout duty right now as he prepares his house for a Spud family invasion. Our other regular contributor from Wrestle Talk Radio and Utoka Talk Live and the Bashing the Books podcast, Mace, is joining us as well. And joining us, a man who gets a great introduction because he was there for some history. Not only was he at Survivor Series Sunday night in Miami, but he was there the night that the Nexus was born, and we got stuck with an annoying British accent for many, many months. He is a writer for the Miami Herald. MiamiHerald.com is his home site. He is Jim Barcelone. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes, Alan, and a lot of interesting WWE news the last couple of nights with the Survivor Series and then with Raw, and just to keep everybody on its toes. I really thought they were going to let Miz hold out for a while longer, even leading up to WrestleMania, but I guess their plan was, let's do it now with Cena apparently taking some time off and go that route. You'll have Orton and Miz and Nexus all battling it out.
Yep, if you were watching last night, you got the shock of a lifetime. I'm one of those people, I can't watch WWE or TNA live. I end up DVRing it just so if we get a match, then I'm just sitting there going, oh God, this is bad. Whereas I can't, if I'm watching it live, and I don't know, Mace has this problem when he watches stuff online or whatever, but we're sometimes in the mindset of, yay, oh God, is wrestling him? Fast forward. And, well, first to you, we'll recap Survivor Series real fast for the fans. Had some real good matches here. Daniel Bryan defeated Teddy DiBiase. John Morrison defeated Sheamus. The Intercontinental Champion Dolph Ziggler defeated Kaval, Loki, Senshi, whatever the heck he is this week. The traditional Survivor Series match was won by Team Mysterio. The only title to change hands, and wow, were we happy about it, Natty Neidhart beat both members of Lay Cool, who had an embarrassing evening in Orlando last night, which we'll address in a moment. The weirdest moment of the night had to be the double pin in the SmackDown World Championship match of Edge and Kane. Gabriel and Slater are still your World Tag Team Champions, and as mentioned, Marky Mark got fired! Fired for counting the shoulders down of Wade Barrett, and as mentioned, Randy Orton makes his way out of the building that night in Miami with the championship. What was the overall vibe in the arena during the John Cena, I'm going to run around everywhere in the American Airlines arena and thank people?
During the match, before the match even, you had your usual kids and girls screaming for Cena, hooray, hooray, and then you would hear the Cena sucks chants, and that's by the testosterone-driven males, older males. It was funny sitting there listening because just the pitches of the voices when let's go Cena and then Cena sucks. So it was interesting just to see how he still has that stronghold with the kids and the females, and then with the males, there's a lot of them that just are like, you know, the heck with you, John Cena. After the match, though, yeah, he went around and shook everybody's hand, went through the crowd even, and you didn't hear as many boos after the match. I don't know if that was because of the music or just everyone just, wow, this guy's going through the crowd now. But it was, I thought it was a nice gesture to do that. Security was around him, but he did make his way and just slapping a five with everybody and doing that. It's not the first time Cena's gone into the crowd. So, just the vibe down in Miami was very good, very, positive. I thought, you know, with the women's title match and that match with Cena Orton, it seemed like it ended abruptly. I thought it was going to go on longer, both of them. And, I guess with the women's match, they wanted to get Beth Phoenix out there, so that was really the... it almost took a little away from Natty Neidhart winning the belt. It was almost like they rushed the end, let Natty Neidhart win, and the bigger moment will be when Beth Phoenix comes down and helps her get rid of Lay Cool, and then she hoists her on her shoulders and all that. And then at the end of the Cena-Orton match, it just seemed like quick. I thought it was going to go on a little longer with what's Cena going to do. He didn't really tease it so much. I mean, at the end, you could see when he was going three, stopped a little bit and then counted. But I actually thought there was going to be a little more interaction with that. Even with the crowd, listening to the crowd, watching the crowd. Even at the end when it ended, it was like, whoa, it's over. Wow, he counted three. Okay, well, that's it. Let's see, you know, now what's going to happen and all. So that was sort of the vibe there from the live crowd.
Yeah, and for Mace and I, along with Omega on Sunday night, well, Sorokin was our man in charge because Tim Stein was no longer available. We actually got personally thanked by John Cena. At one point during the show, I swear Cena knocked on my door, walked in here into the Tampa Bay area. Congratulations. Omega lives on the other, a little south of me. and he got thanked. I mean, Mace, we watched it live thanks to the wonderful powers of pay-per-view. Your overall vibe, before we get to everything that transpired in Orlando last night, happy with the overall result of this event, or are you kind of feeling the way Jim is, that the way stuff was handled with Natty and the main event, that it was just a lot of rushing? Because we contemplated during the show Sunday night when I visited Russell Talk Radio that Daniel Bryan had possibly been injured, and that made some of the matches time switch. So, to Mace, your overall feelings, and we'll tease what happened Monday night.
Well, first of all, John Cena showed up at my place 5 minutes ago to get his thank you from me for watching. It took him a while to get here. You know, he must have still been doing them after Raw last night.
Absolutely.
He's got nothing else to do with his time now, so he might as well go around and thank everybody on the planet. However, the show itself was pretty good. It was different, you know. I was actually enjoying it for the first time in quite a while. I didn't really think it was rushed. I think there was a few points where they were trying to fill more time up, but that's about it.
Favorite match of the night, and the match that you said, okay, this looks like a good time to go get some lunch, or was no lunch even made because the show was that good?
Match of the night, I'd probably give it to Cabal and Ziggler, and the match where I went and made lunch was John Morrison and Sheamus.
And that's just because this is, or is that because we're not a fan of the Ginger Man?
No, I'm quite a fan of the Walking Jar of Mayonnaise. I just didn't really see much in his feud with John Morrison.
It's the other Ginger we're not a fan of. We're not a fan of Heath Slater, I take it.
Yeah, that's the one we're not a fan of.
Real big push for John Morrison, getting the wins that he's gotten over Sheamus. And just watching that again, there was surprise when, at least in the area I was sitting at, when Morrison pinned him cleanly, and it was just like, whoa. They let Morrison win over Sheamus. Okay, where are they going with this one and all? And then, obviously, what happened Raw, if you get to that later. It's interesting to see how Sheamus elevating John Morrison, even though Sheamus is probably a little younger than Morrison, at least his time in WWE is shorter, even though he's done a lot more. It's just interesting where they're going with that. Matt, I really like that first match, Daniel Bryan and DiBiase. And maybe because it was the first match, the crowd was really, really into that. Like the action. The Cabal match with Ziggler was very good. For me, the Kane Edge match, maybe just because where it was and just building up for Cena Orton so much, I expected some more from that. I didn't like the ending. Didn't like with the double pin. Knew it was going to happen. Everybody was going nuts. They thought Edge won, but you saw how both arms, each arm was on the other guy, and it was like, oh, no, they're going to do this. And for me, that was one. Even the match, I don't know, it ran its course, but I just didn't get into it as much as some of the others.
Yeah, it was very weird for us watching it live from here. The section that you were sitting in, that a lot of people kind of just sit there going, yeah, Edge won the, wait a minute, what the, huh?
You know what, the section I was in, I want to say there was a lot, there were some family members and there were some other media members, so usually it's a little more subdued, but above and around you could tell, yeah, fans were actually cheering because they thought that Edge had won the title. So when you looked around and saw that, you could hear big crowd response, you see the fans, and then all of a sudden the boos when they made the official announcement and gave Kane the belt.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this event, fans, and if you can get the replay just to see, even though you watched it on Monday Night Raw, to see Daniel Bryan, DiBiase, and Dolph Ziggler, Cabal, biggest disappointment of the night, in my book, was the traditional Survivor Series match. Didn't understand, you have MVP, who is a hometown Miami guy from Liberty City, so what do? You have him pinned as the first guy out. Great way to put your, keeping the tradition of you're in the hometown.
Yeah, that's another thing. Alan, that's another thing I wanted to get to. He probably got the biggest, well, Cena too. Cena, of course. Mysterio got a nice big ovation. Big Show got a huge ovation. But I would say MVP was right up there, if not the biggest ovation. The hometown crowd getting on his side, and it was, and even during the match, chance of MVP when he got in, before he got in, and then right, it was like one of those things. And I know Scott Fishman, who does Right for us, interviews a lot of the wrestlers. He made a mention. He goes, "How many times have you seen a hometown guy return to his hometown, and WWE just sort of like puts him out there, gets lost, get out, you're done. That's it for you tonight." It's almost like they don't want you to succeed in front of your hometown crowd. We have another way to go with our direction, our script, and it's not you tonight, so we want to get you out of there as quickly as possible so the fans aren't chanting your name the whole match or the whole night or whatever. So I was just like, well, whatever. Yeah, that's their thing. That's what they're going to do. I don't know.
It was definitely an interesting event. So fans, if you get the chance, buy it. And to Mace real quick, because I said we were watching it on pay-per-view, as announced, TLC pay-per-view is December 19th. For fans who didn't see it, give your overall impression of the WWE marketing department and the wonderful promo they played.
That would be the one made by, I quite believe it's the first Baby H. In other words, stick figure drawings on pieces of construction paper. But that's what you get when you give Linda McMahon $50 million to run a Senate campaign. You don't have much to do commercials with anymore.
That's pretty much what it felt like. I was just sitting there going, wait, what the heck? Is that? What? Okay. It was just one of those weird, I guess maybe because of the whole PG-rated image, we couldn't really show people what could possibly happen at one of these events. Definitely mark your calendar for that one. December 19th is the TLC pay-per-view. Now, if you're someone like Jersey Girl is in our chat room, and we thank her for listening along with everybody else, she's already got tickets for Philadelphia next Monday night, where they will reintroduce the King of the Ring event. And that was the main thrust for last night's show, or at least it seemed that way when we first started, guys. Mentioned it was in Orlando, Florida at the brand spanking new Amway Center, and thanks to my friends who try to spoil the show for me while I'm watching something with my daughter and then watching Monday Night Football and going, I'm not watching, and getting texts and texts about, I can't believe this happened, I'm like, go away. Here's who's already qualified for King of the Ring. You have Sheamus, who defeated Ron the Truth Killing, sorry, R-Truth, which was really funny. In a moment, I'll address my feelings on that. Ezekiel Jackson was supposed to take on The Miz. That turned into Ezekiel Jackson killing Alex Riley, with CM Punk asking during the commentary, is Riley under the influence or something, which plays wonderfully into Alex's DWI arrest. Awesome. Another qualifier is Daniel Bryan, who defeated Ted DiBiase. Bella Twins out for I'm not sure what reason, other than to go, hey, they're under contract still. Love Nikki and Brie, but oh well. King of the Ring qualifier number 4 is, well, the parkour man John Morrison taking out Tyson Kidd in a very entertaining match. Natty Neidhart defeated Alicia Fox, and of course, your main event of the evening was supposed to be Randy Orton and Wade Barrett, and Nexus jumps Orton. Then all of a sudden, Orton somehow survives because Marky Mark makes a miraculous entrance into the building. Great security job there, Amway Center. Can lock out Lay Cool, but you can't keep Cena out. So, of course, Orton does win. However, brand new world champion once again. Many people were hoping he was going to lose his Money in the Bank shot, but you have a new WWE champion in Mike the Miz Mizanin. To Mace, first address this idea of King of the Ring. We talked about it on this program and on Russell Talk Radio about WWE trying to simplify pay-per-views, eliminate pay-per-views and do these three-hour events like they did with Old School Raw. Is this another test for WWE to do that and seeing what the rating would be for a three-hour King of the Ring that WWE could go to the old traditional WCW and NWA Clash of Champions event? Or is this just, well, we got 3 hours, let's have some fun?
I think this is probably more along the lines of we've got 3 hours, how are we going to fill it? However, that being said, I proclaim King Ezekiel Jackson. That man deserves the push.
Hey, CM Punk was proclaiming everybody. It was King Sheamus, and then it was King Ezekiel Jackson, and then he's like, oh, Daniel Bryan is the king? I don't know. Really weird. Your thoughts on the whole idea of doing King of the Ring, Jim, as a regular event? Should this be a pay-per-view event, or is it fine to do it the way they're doing it for Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, I don't know if doing it as the pay-per-view event anymore is something that WWE wants to do. They seem tired with it on pay-per-view, and I guess, you know, we've got these types of matches every week anyway. We don't have those old school matches. There are no more jobber type matches anymore. So doing King of the Ring on Raw, maybe they feel it's going to help the ratings or something. I mean, really, you're talking about, well, I guess Sheamus. Sheamus has been a champion, but you're really talking about the second tier guys anyway, trying to become King of the Ring, and then who's going to get elevated to win King of the Ring and then go from there. So if you want to do a pay-per-view King of the Ring with the second-tier talent and knowing that the main event possibly could be Ezekiel Jackson against John Morrison for King of the Ring, so if they're going to do it that way, which is, you know, look at the lineup there, wait to see what SmackDown does with it. That's basically what you're getting. I don't know if that's a reason, too, why not go pay-per-view and do it on a Raw and or SmackDown.
Yep, the other folks that are going to qualify tonight up in Jacksonville in the other eight competitors, Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes, Alberto Del Rio, the All-American-American Jack Swagger, Big Show, and MVP. So we'll see what's going on there. We found out Jersey Girl has floor seats for this Monday night, so hopefully she will take some notes and get some awesome photos and post them on the OWW Genesis board, which will be pretty cool. The overall vibe was really well done. I personally thought it was hysterical that it took Barrett three shots to even get his actual opening promo going. To Mace, being a trained performer in the ring, and we could ask Spug this also since he's a trained wrestler, cutting a heel promo, especially in an audience like that, give some insight into what's the proper way, non-proper way. Did Barrett handle this correctly, or should he have ignored the crowd after the second time of them shutting him down?
There is no real way to handle it, to be honest. When it comes to reacting with the crowd, though, the more you react to them trying to shut you down, the better it's going to be for you as a heel, because your job is to piss them off. The more you talk, the more you're going to piss them off, the more they're going to try and shut you down. Probably should have, like, acknowledged the fans, do the old, you know, shut up, I'm talking here, you know, that type of thing. But yeah, some of these guys, these newer guys, don't seem to realize that with their crowd interaction, they're allowed to do it. There is no, you know, there's no Vince McMahon sitting behind a curtain with a magic button like Dr. Evil that's going to make them fall through the floor if they don't do the promos exactly the script. Mm. You know, they can have the skills to just turn around and improvise something on the fly, which is, I think, something that's been trained out of these guys. It's very unfortunate because it's how a lot of people on the indie circuit do it. It's called getting over.
And according to a media source in India, John Cena was really fired. To his promo, Jim, very heartfelt, almost felt like when Ric Flair left the company, when Shawn Michaels left the company. Everybody watching, obviously in my shoes, is going, you're going to make a movie, or you're going to do some animated TV show, dude. We'll see you by Royal Rumble. How long, talk about the promo itself, and how long, if you are WWE creative, do you keep him out of the public eye? Do you save him to come back just in time for Mania, or is he back right away at Royal Rumble or even the TLC event?
Oh, for me, it's easy. It's just how much money are they still making, and if their ratings are really slipping. I mean, if it drops point one or point two. I don't think it's like ready. Oh God, it dropped a little bit. Oh no. But you know, if there's a significant drop in the ratings, if the merchandise isn't selling as well, if the pay-per-view he's not on it and they don't get as many buys as what they should be getting compared to the economy and what they are doing for all, not just, oh, last year they had 300,000 pay-per-view buys and this year they only have 275. Well, you know, that's still a lot of pay-per-view buys. You know, 200,000 plus. And it's still a lot of pay-per-view buys. So, but you know, if you look at the numbers overall, look at the ratings overall, see how much they're dipping if they are, see how much money they're losing if they are, see how the merchandise is going. I mean, that's going to be a big determining factor for when to bring him back, when to get him back in there. I'm wondering, a couple things I wanted to go too, like obviously you mentioned the movie, of course, but you know what? He's done a movie while he's been wrestling. Big Show did Knucklehead while he was still competing. I know Big Show said that in an interview we did a month or so ago, that he still made the shows and the pay, obviously the pay-per-view while he was filming the movie. If he's doing TV, maybe it's a little different. I wonder if there's something else going on. I wonder, injury-wise, you know, Triple H took all this time off to go get some surgery done and heal up a little bit and get ready to get back in there. And I'm wondering if it's something like that. It's just giving him time off to do other projects. You mentioned that he does a TV project. I wonder, I don't remember checking, and I can't remember everything, but I don't know if he's married. Maybe he's got a kid coming on the way. And maybe that's happening now, and he's taking time off for that. I mean, really don't know what the whole scenario is as to why he's taking the time off right now.
It's interesting. Thanks to the power of Sorokin, who does the Twitter twang or whatever it's called, I'm not cool enough, as Kenny King told me, I'm not allowed to twit. According to John Cena's Twitter, Mr. Barrett, if he keeps taking shortcuts, it will come back to haunt him. Just got tickets for Raw in Philly. Okay. Before we go to break, I want to get both you gentlemen take on the idea of Mike the Miz Mizanin as world champion. Mistake Mace in doing this on the Raw in Orlando instead of the night of the pay-per-view. We, Omega, you and I talked about this Sunday night on Russ Talk Radio, that it was a great promo by Mizanin. And then it was just up and wasted. So, to you, thoughts on them doing it? And do we like the idea of The Miz finally getting the gold, the big gold?
I would have liked to have seen them pull the trigger last night. Sort of would have made more sense. But the way they played it off this time with actually having them wrestle a match, I actually enjoyed that, even though Orton was already hurt with his leg. You know, Miz working body part psychology. Somebody in WWE obviously has pulled out the old school playbook. But as for Miz actually winning the title, a lot of people have said for a long, long time that this kid has the stuff. You know, he has the ability to be a main event player. It's just, when are they going to pull the trigger on him? And at this point in time, I'm sitting here going, I'm liking this. I'd like to see him stay through to Mania, but I have this sneaking suspicion he won't have the title come the Royal Rumble.
Really? You think he's a transitional champion?
Yeah, I think this, something in the back of my head is going, Miz is only going to have the belt till the Royal Rumble. He's probably going to lose it to Orton, you know, because it just doesn't seem like they'd have the faith in him for that long. But personally, I hope I'm wrong. You know, deep down, I want him to stay till Mania and maybe see, you know, Miz versus Cena for the unification of the titles or something like that. You know, I'd like to see that happen. But, hey, I'm not booking.
I'm not Kevin Sullivan. Yeah, to Jim, we've seen this before. He is the ultimate opportunist in the tradition of Edge. On two occasions, in the tradition of CM Punk, who was sitting at ringside, and we hope his hip heals so we can get him back in the ring soon. Overall thoughts on The Miz as world champion, and would you rather have seen this done on that pay-per-view, I guess obviously it would have taken away from the John Cena Going Away tour.
Yeah, exactly. It would have taken away from that. That's why I kind of figured they were not. I mean, I thought my thought was they were not going to do it. It was good that they brought him out there just to get everyone thinking, oh, because WWE likes to do that. Oh, look what's going to happen. It's always been in the past, years ago, no matter what event they had, there was always rumors for pay-per-views about who might show up, Ooh, Stone Cold, Rock, Hogan, this guy, that guy, whatever. And then they wouldn't, and everyone would be disappointed. So I think Sunday night, they were more or less saying, oh, here's The Miz. And they were actually putting him out there. Here he is cutting his promo and ripping the Heat, ripping Miami and LeBron and the Cleveland thing, and he's from Ohio, and then just saying, I could cash this in tonight and doing all that. It sort of got everybody in the crowd thinking, oh, is he going to come out? Really, though, at the end, it came down to Cena and Orton, Cena counting before Orton, and then Cena handing the belt to Orton almost as if, hey, I'm passing the torch to you. Here you go. They hug. Orton gives them the old pumping of the chest, and it's almost like one of those moments, at least from where I was sitting, what I thought was, okay, Cena really is going to take time off, and he's sort of passing the torch to Orton. Then what happens the next night, it's like, what happened? What happened to the torch being passed? Because now you have Miz coming out and cashing in. So it's almost just like they don't want you to know what they're going to do. WWE tries so hard to just try to fool everyone. At least that's my take on it. And I would have liked to see the Miz wait before cashing in Money in the Bank and be it more toward Mania and see it there. But maybe WWE doesn't want to put the Miz in the Mania main event yet, and they want to give him the belt now and see how he does and see how he draws and see how he interacts with everyone else and do that now and test it now. So that's just what I thought with all that.
We are going to take our first scheduled timeout. Coming up after the break, we will get into WWE's version of Black Friday. We will also delve into if you want to be a WWE superstar, we'll tell you how to do it. All in Willow Wrestling Radio will be back here on Nine Inch Nails Pretty Hate Machine Tribute Night after the break.
Of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday night when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Book. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archives section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bash in the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
This is a professional wrestling-based website on the internet today. Brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're upset whenever they wrestle, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince Vincent,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs saw the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage, Brett
Sterry, Janice Michelle,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Brett the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
all of you, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wickerman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith,
Jack Evans,
get into the world of wrestling, online, it's the thanks of pros you, online, world of wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com, check it out today.
Welcome back. Online World of Wrestling Radio here. Let's go to the Wild Talk Radio Network on Nine Inch Nails Pretty Hate Machine Night. That was Down With It. Another one of the great songs by Trent Reznor, nineinchnails.com or nin.com. I can't remember these days what you got. Don't forget he did do the soundtrack to The Social Network, which is available in stores now. You can find all Nine Inch Nails stuff everywhere you go. Lots of fun indeed here tonight. Jim Barcelone staying with us from the Miami Herald. Mace is also here. Spug is battling a real nasty house hold issue, and hopefully he will join us soon. As mentioned before the break, Black Friday technically is this Friday. Some of these stores opening at 3 a.m. Good Lord, not a chance. No way. WWE had their own version, and it seems like we go through this every year, guys. If it's usually, it's before Mania, after Mania, and then before the end of the year, we go through this. Here is the casualty list as of this moment. It is Tamarin Terrell, also known as Tiffany, also known as Mrs. Drew McIntyre, Jillian Hall, who had actually was sent down to FCW Developmental, possibly become a trainer. Obviously, that did not happen. One half of the Dude Busters, Kaelin Cross, was let go. He was an OVW regular back in the day. Shad Gaspard, Luke Gallows, who thanks Luke for doing one interview and canceling all your other ones. Real professional. And Vance Archer, also known as Lance Hoyt, who was going to be here tonight, but unfortunately he drove from Florida yesterday morning to his home in Texas and got to Texas about 10 minutes before we went on the air and said, I love you, Alan, but I'm going to my house and falling into my fiance's arms and going to bed until Thursday. So if you were here for Lance Hoyt, we do apologize, but he will be on the show in the near future. Possibly on the December 7th event, which would be Pantera Tribute Night. to Jim first. Biggest shock on this list is anybody, or are we not caring about any of these folks leaving?
I don't know what the big surprise would be, because the way they were using them, I guess, you know, Gallows being part of the Straight Edge Society, Beretta and Croft together, I thought they were good together. I just thought they made them too clowny, too gimmicky. They're both good clowns, and they're good at what they do, but I thought they could have done that without having to push it over the top like WWE tries to do with some of its characters still. The Tiffany one, she had, what, those problems with her husband, where he had her arrested. I think obviously that had something big. Look, if you're going to Drew McIntyre and Tiffany, which one of the two are you going to keep? I mean, that answers that question right there. So, I mean, the thing is, you can think about it. Anytime the wrestlers in WWE, they get together with a diva, WWE tries to split them up, because WWE knows, and I give them credit for this, they know that having both of them together on the same brand, and I'm not just picking on these two, you can go down the line, having them on the same brand, it does nothing but causes problems, because now you have two egos together battling it out, and if one doesn't go well for one, now you have two ganging up for one. So it's not a good situation to have boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife working on the same brand for the same company. It just is not a good situation. I think the only ones really that made a go of it and didn't cause too many problems with their personal relationship was Booker T and Charmel. I mean, there were other things that happened, but that was with Booker T and others, Batista, etc. But really, overall, they never really had too many problems with the two of them. But you can go down the list, all the others, Melina and Morrison, Edge, Hardy, Lita. I mean, come on. It's not isolated. So, I mean, who else did they split? They split Kenny and who was Kenny with? Mickie James? Was it them two were together for a while? They split them up because they knew.
So.
I believe it was. And then they split those two up. So it's like, it's not good. If you're going to be a WWE superstar and or diva, do not get involved with another WWE superstar and or diva and work for the company. So, it's just... But to me, there weren't really any big surprise on that list. That's just my thought.
We touched on this issue on Sunday night on Russell Talk Radio, and if you're fans of both shows, thank you for being here. We appreciate the listenership. You gave your traditional meh for all of these folks, but you also addressed an issue that Jim kind of touched on, as you mentioned. Kaelin Kroft, one half the Dude Busters. At one point, Chad Gaspard, part of Crime Time. Gallows was in the Straight Edge Society. Lance Hoyt was partnered with Kurt Hawkins. So thanks WWE for destroying your tag division. It's now nobody, thanks to the Hart Dynasty splitting. And Santino and Kozlov, Mace. Anybody that you're sitting there going, crap, why'd they do that? Or are you feeling like Jim going, thanks a lot, here's your 90 days and, you know, your copy of the home game?
Yeah, pretty much. That's my opinion on it. Enjoy your 90 days. Here's a fruit basket and a pink slip. Not really going to sit there and go, oh, why did they get rid of Chad, he was so good. No, not really. But, yeah, there's not really guys there who I'd say, why, oh why? Enjoy your 90 days, guys. Make sure you try and get us interviews.
Now, would Gallows have been released if Joey Mercury Matthews, whatever his name is, doesn't get injured? Because they had him plugged in there, and I believe on house shows, Gallows and Matthews, Mercury, whatever, were tag-teaming. So did that just kind of give the nudge on the door there to either one of you?
Dead silence.
Yeah, that's how much we care. CM Punk apparently does. CM Punk apparently does care. He is another one of the folks to do the twitting. As mentioned, Kenny King says I'm not allowed to. He took to the little 140-character thing and said, Days like today bum me out. Gallows, many times he was given chicken bleep and turned it into gold. He has heart, hustles, and loves wrestling.
But does he make money? That's always a... Yeah, you get a lot of guys like... Remember Hugh Morris? They loved Hugh Morris in WCW. Remember, I can't remember what title he won. He won maybe a TV title or something. The whole back came out and applauded. They just loved this guy. And that's all good and well, and that's great. You need people like that, of course. But at the same token, I mean, who was the other guy up? Albert. You know, he was great. That he'd always ask for advice. He worked hard, tried to do what he could. He Taker really liked him. Not a bad guy to have on your side, by the way. But still, when the bottom line is, how much money did you make? And I mean, if you make the money, you're obviously going to stay. If you can make the crowd love or hate you, Miz, you get to stay. So it's always that type of thing. I think Gallows was a interesting character when he teamed with Gordy and they did the Festus thing and all. That had some SmackDown potential, especially since SmackDown's a little goofier. But you know, when you look at that and look at them and all, you know what? You only can blame yourself. I have heard this from many talent that have been around a while will say that. You could always look back and say, how come they cut me? How come this? How come that? Why didn't they give me this? Why didn't they give me a better spot? Why didn't they do more for me? You know what? Bottom line is, it comes down to you and how much you push for yourself, how much you come up with ideas, and even if they turn you down, keep throwing them ideas, keep pushing, keep going. Don't settle back. Don't get complacent with where you are just because you have some type of spot on the show. That's one thing that's good about MVP. If you want to hear, again, Scott Fishman just did an interview with him, leading to Survivor Series and all, and Court Bauer, who was working with WWE behind the scenes, he used to do that Major League Wrestling. He's got a very strong background in wrestling. He had mentioned how MVP is a self-made man and how his initiative and all these things he put together, his tape, his video package, his resume, what he's doing now, the ideas he's coming up with, and even if he gets shot down, he keeps coming back at them. There's no one saying, MVP, here's what we want you to do. Try this. He's the one actually coming up with ideas. And that's why MVP has lasted as long as he has and has made it in WWE. Now, granted, I don't like what they're doing with him now, but he's still there. And he's still trying. And he's still pushing. That's what these guys and that's what these divas have to do if they want to have a shot at staying in the company.
And it looks like that if any of these folks do go to TNA, we're happy for them. Speaking of WWE, if you're wondering, you know, you guys mentioned Tough Enough a couple weeks ago and then you stopped talking about it. Well, guess what, kids? It's back. WWE is accepting applications for the new season of Tough Enough, where the winner will earn a WWE contract. This will be the fifth season, and the show will be back on TV after a seven-year absence. By the time it starts on television, they're not giving a specific start date for the actual airing of the show. But here's the fun stuff, so if you're listening, wrestlers and fans and whatnot. The casting call information says that the producers are looking to find men and women with the following qualities. Charisma, personality, athleticism, agility, stamina, not that kind, strength, and intense desire to be the next WWE superstar. And applications will be taken until January 22nd of 2011. You can go to realitywanted.com/call/9196 and then a bunch of dashes in between. Are you tough enough for WWE casting now? To Mace, we've addressed the NXT thing, and for the love of humanity, if you're listening to us live, why are you leaving possibly in 10 minutes? Stay with us and enjoy us, because we're way more entertaining than Michael Cole on an internet site. They're going to possibly do a fourth season of NXT. Now you're doing this Tough Enough thing. Thoughts on the idea of a fifth season of Tough Enough?
Never really been a fan of the Tough Enough show. You know, what's the biggest thing that they've given us? Boogeyman, I think.
Morrison is
the only one currently, and Kenny King is mentioned. Our friend Kenny King was a part of season two, lost to Jackie Gata Haas and Linda Mile. Thanks for being in the business, guys.
Okay, thank you for the reminder. Believe it or not, we never actually got Tough Enough over here in Australia, so my memory on the show is extremely foggy. Plus, I've had concussions throughout my life, so yeah. Damage does happen, people.
The early stages of Tough, I'll help you out here, because the early stages of Tough Enough, it was fun because it was something different, something new, but as it got on, and then remember when what was it, Daniel Pewter won, it was part of, what was it, part of SmackDown? It wasn't part of its own show on MTV, it just kept going down, and they waited too long to cut the cord. Always easier to say that after the fact, but that's just the reality of it when you look back at Tough Enough. I remember this about Tough Enough. A lot of people were jealous in the back because here were these guys that didn't pay their dues, et cetera, especially old school, and then whoever won got this huge break, got the contract, got a nice little payday with it as well. And there was a lot of jealousies with that, and that doesn't create for a good locker room. Now, obviously, WWE doesn't care if it gets good ratings and they make money off it, but I think it's going to be a little different now because, right, you have more talent now that aren't spending as much time on the indies before they're getting their chance, although they are going to FCW. I think it would have been better to have the Tough Enough winner go to FCW, which they probably will anyway, but go to FCW for a while, and then with the thought of they will be brought up to WWE because they won this contest and be thrust into WWE right away. They're doing it after some hiatus, so they're figuring that people that haven't watched Tough Enough in the past, this will be their chance to see it, and they'll give you the format. If they're going to do the same type of format they did the last time, maybe they'll get Hardcore Holly to come back to just beat the crap out of somebody, and everyone will be like, oh no.
Please.
maybe Boogeyman will show up at the application process, and he'll come in as another name with another fake age, and that'll be funny to watch, because we'll be like, wait a minute, we know who you are? Wait a second.
Yeah, the funniest part of watching season one and two is when you watch the initial episode and they do the auditions. Season one was auditioned at what is no longer existence, WWE New York or WWE The World, and you watch season two, you'll see a certain young lady qualify. Oh, yeah, that would be current WWE superstar Melina Perez. It doesn't even look like anything. So I am one of the few that actually own a copy of WWE Tough Enough Season 1. I found it when I lived in Nashville. They had a DVD compendium of it. And for if you're inside like we are, it's a very interesting show. Unfortunately, as Triple H felt, as William Regal felt, it pulled the curtain back so much that you may get people going, hey, I can do that, dude. Let's get some clothes and do the wrestling thing. And you know, that's the danger you run into. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. It's a varying opinion. Hardcore Holly would be awesome to come back. The other funny part was, I believe it was season two, you had to deal with the real world type thing with Jackie Gata's romantic issues and her coming back from a knee injury. And then you also had Matt Morgan, funny enough, was a part of Tough Enough season two, I believe, and had to leave due to a knee injury he got from that obstacle course they did, the beach thing. So that, and you look at Morgan now and go, if you can find season two somewhere, definitely check it out, because you look at him and go, wow, look at that. Who's that guy? Oh, that's Matt Morgan. Whoa.
But you know, this helps TNA as well, because whoever doesn't win, if they make it to the finals, top three, they can end up in TNA. So it's sort of serving a dual purpose here with Tough Enough coming back. I wonder if they're going to do it the same format, the same way they did it when they first initially had it, where you're going to have some of the behind the scenes people involved with the actual evaluating. I guess you can't have Al Snow since he's working TNA now, Who are you going to have to be the mentor type to just, you know, make sure that they're doing what they need to do and they're sort of like being the dad and, and just
stuff. No, she's gone too.
Yeah, right. So,
okay,
who are they going to be?
Okay, I can give you a few names. Dean Malenko,
sure.
Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
William Regal.
I believe Brian Kendrick, William Regal. Oh, not Brian Kendrick, what's the other one? Paul London.
If you, if you can get him to put the joint down, and I believe London actually may be trying out for the Amazing Race. Our friends at Wrestling Globe Newsletter passed that around. Obviously, no Irie in the company, no Tori in the company. Many avenues. As mentioned, you have Ricky Steamboat working there.
Yes.
It would be just
the Steamboat would be good. I think Steamboat would be good.
No.
Doing
but
that
that's the other thing.
Good.
Now, you would mention the locker room animosity. The New Age Outlaws immediately come to mind thanks to a shoot interview they did a few years ago. But now you may create animosity with everyone that's already in FCW. People like Johnny Curtis who have been down there for a long while. The kids that were on seasons 1 and 2 of NXT, or more than 2, having issues with it. I mean, it makes for great TV, but you know, that's to be seen. I'm sure at some point in 2011, they're not 100% sure. They're not listing what's going on. So
figured that they don't know everything yet. And the other thing is, since WWE is so tied in with NBC Universal, NBC. They can figure it's going to be on one of the cable channels that's under that umbrella. Not necessarily USA, but there's a, I don't have a list in front of me, but there's a ton of channels on cable that are all part of that USA Network, NBC, Universal family that they could go to and air the, broadcast the show and do it that way. They are going to do this Tough Enough again. I'm wondering if it's going to be a little bit easier for the talent just because, you know, you've got Miz there, you got Morrison there. You don't have that old school mentality as much as when you did it the first time, although there's still some there. And the other thing is, if you think about it, right, we were thinking about who's still there and we came up with Morrison. So it's almost like, hey, your window of opportunity here, yeah, you won. But it's not like you're going to be here for 10 years. Maven lasted a little while. Nydia was there for
hurt
a little
him
while,
big
right?
Time. Yep, yeah. Nydia was in, Nydia was out.
Right.
Lyndon Miles in the Shelton Benjamin look-alike contest. Always fun to have when I lived in Nashville, because you never saw them in the same place. You were just kind of going like, wait, is that Shelton? Is
That's
that her?
Right. And Daniel Pewter never made it, right? Or he turned down or he left or whatever the heck he did.
Pewter was an arrogant, egotistical prick who got everything he deserved in that Royal Rumble when Bob Holly and Chris Benoit went off on him in the ring.
The Spud Guy joining us a little late, but we appreciate him being here. He'll be back with us on the other side of the break when we'll go into TNA Wrestling. Before you go, give some folks an idea of recent interviews I've seen, but they may have not have seen, that you've conducted on the Miami Herald website, Jim.
Well, we've had Scott Fishman did some art, been working on there, and he interviewed, like I said, he interviewed MVP recently before Survivor Series. We've done some things on Big Show. Got something in the works on Brother Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley. Got something with the Pope, so that'll be coming up. There's a couple of TNA talent there. Basically from that point, I'd say the last couple of weeks, that's what we've geared a lot on Survivor Series. Now since the attention's done with that, we'll start moving more toward TNA for the next couple of weeks, doing some stuff there. Scott Fishman's been getting ready to do some things with Ring of Honor. Also, he mentioned that good old Dirty Dutch Mantel's got another book coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be doing something with that. So the wrestlers and try to ask them questions and get them to respond rather than just running a lot of rumors here and there, which you can find all over the place on the Internet anyway. So
All right. MiamiHerald.com is the way to go to find out where Jim Rosamone will be in your area. Thank you so much for stopping by tonight, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Coming thank you. Up, talk to y'all later.
All right. Coming up after the break, we'll be joined by Under the Ring, Kevin Scott. He will join Thug Mason, myself, to talk all the fun that is TNA Wrestling as they make their way to Final Resolution. We'll address Mick Foley's recent comments in an interview, a trip overseas plan for TNA, and looks like the return of a superstar is coming here on Pretty Hate Machine, Nine Inch Nails night. I'll be back on the other side of this break on my World of Wrestling Radio.
This is Phil Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer. I am the host of the...
Oh my God, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy! Congress on Talk Radio! This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewer ships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Here's a great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forum. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown. It's the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for chick fights and online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Welcome back, Tower Number 2 of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are sponsored by the number one site for news and information in the world of professional wrestling, and that would be onlineworldofwrestling.com. Our toll-free number, as always, is 877-588-9877, option 1. That is brought to you by the folks at Underground Radio. We are also brought to you by the Skype Network. If you're a part of Skype, feel free to add Sir Rockin, and you can join the show at any time. Thanks to Jim Barcelone for his time tonight on Pretty Hate Machine Night, one of the landmark industrial goths, whatever. It changes every week. Everybody's like, oh no, now they're considered emo. I'm like, Trent Reznor has his own label, leave it alone. Mace staying with us tonight, the Spud Guy is here. Also from Wrestle Talk Radio, Otaku Talk Live, and joining us because, well, we like him. His friends on Long Island like him a lot. He is a part of the Under the Ring blog, which is featured on PoughkeepsieJournal.com. Phil Strome would have liked to have joined us, but the real job takes precedence. We understand completely. The one and only Kevin K. Scott joins us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, guys. How's everybody doing tonight?
We're surviving. Are you going to be one of these crazy people that's at a store at 4 or 5 a.m. getting the latest and greatest? No?
Absolutely not, because I have the internet. You can buy all the stuff online nowadays.
Yeah. Spug, does the wife have you already packing stuff up going? Now get ready, dude, because we're going. We're going to be there. We're going to be at Target at 4 a.m. Get in there.
Nope.
Not a chance, guys. Yeah, my wife was like, yeah, we're going to Walmart at 5 in the morning. I was like, yeah, you have fun with that. Bye-bye.
No, my wife isn't that type of person. My wife could care less about Black Friday. Could care less.
We need to introduce her around to the rest of the United States of America and get it moving around. The second hour originally was supposed to be scheduled for Lance Hoyt. If you are here to listen to Lance, I do apologize. Due to travel issues Lance had, he was driving from Tampa, Florida, where he was residing while working for WWE/FCW. He had left yesterday and pretty much got to his house about 10 minutes before we came on the air and said to tell the fans, I'm so sorry. I don't want to give you an interview of where I'm falling asleep and possibly snoring. We save that for CB Radio on Saturday nights. That way, I believe, he snored for an hour, Sir Rockin'. Was that how long the Godfather snored for? Possibly an hour live on the radio, so that's always a great way to go. Many people were snoring this past Thursday night. We do apologize. I'm one of the unfortunate, thanks to my cable system. I don't get NFL Network. So this Thanksgiving night, unlike Phil Strum, who's going to the New York Jets game, you lucky bastard, I don't get to watch it. We'll be watching TNA Wrestling, and before we get to the actual event, the big news out of this event, as I said, a superstar is returning, guys. It's Dixie Carter. They're actually teasing, if you watch Spike TV or you go to TNAWrestling.com, to Kevin, and then we'll go around the room. It's all over the place. Dixie Carter was making her return to Impact on a special Thanksgiving edition of the program this Thursday night on Spike TV. Also scheduled for the show is Tommy Dreamer versus Rhino in a street fight and Jeff Jarrett versus Jesse Neal under MMA rules. Shows, yeah, we love your roster, but Dixie's more important, Kevin.
Well, I'm first surprised that Spike TV is actually advertising that little show called Impact, because I rarely see anything about that whatsoever on the channel. So I got to give them a little bit of credit for that. As far as Dixie Carter being this huge, blockbuster news, why? Weren't we given a small gift when she was kind of fired? Even though her name obviously still appears as executive producer on Reaction, her tweet still, giving up information about the company. You know, I really would love it if they actually went like the WWE route where John Cena is completely off the active roster list and now in the alumni section, where they take what's going on the show and try to make it look as real as possible. Please get Dixie off my TV screen. Which is sad, because she is a quite attractive woman, but once again, TNA's made me hate beautiful women.
To Mace, is this a little crazy? And if Vince McMahon was returning from his coma, maybe, but Dixie wasn't even. This was like RVD back a few weeks ago. It's like, he's out, he's injured, he's never going to possibly come back. But amazingly, he's back a week before the pay-per-view. I mean, she wasn't even gone enough to go do Black Friday shopping.
Yeah, she's gone, supposedly coming back. I frankly don't care.
I mean, she sold her shares. She did this, she did that. Are they going to torture her like they did Jeff Jarrett, where they had him cleaning toilets and cooking and flipping burgers? I mean, would that possibly be entertaining TV to you and your friends? Like, hey, Dixie's back. All right. Dixie's going to go work for Universal, work in the Trister ride, sell stuff in the main area.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, they say, she's contacting lawyers to get a contract and all this looked at and sold her shares and this and that and the other. We're not buying it. We know that it's not true. So people aren't going to buy the malarkey. But if they do, I've got a bridge I can tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some bridges and tunnels and protective dikes. Yes, I just said dike on the radio. It's awesome, the freedom you have. To Spug, any interest in Dixie Carter, or are you wishing, like Kevin, that she just stayed off TV forever?
Do I sound like I care about TNA whatsoever? Just curious. No, I could care less, man. I really could. They've just ruined the whole thing with TNA, with rehashing WCW from 95 on, I kind of wish somebody would have slapped Bischoff upside the head and said you had told me hadn't had an original idea since 95.
Oh, and we'll pay Dutch Mantel to slap him around. As mentioned on Sunday night, we're working on having Jim Barcelona mention it. Dirty Dutch Mantel will possibly be stopping by in the next few weeks, not only to promote his book, but also the Kayfabe Commentaries DVD on his time in TNA, the guest booker program, which was very interesting to watch. We'll get rewatched before I give it out to review. Before we even get into Impact, some other interesting stuff happened this past week. Some Sport WrestleCast did an interview with Mick Foley where he stated recently that he turned down an offer in TNA to turn heel. This is what Mick Foley had to say in quotes. This is breaking news, and maybe I'll get in trouble for this, but TNA had discussed me doing a big heel turn. But with this anti-bullying campaign we're doing and coming off an award for reasonableness I was given by John Stewart, it didn't seem right. To be hitting people with my reasonableness award on TV would be funny. I could have done it a couple weeks of good television. But in the bigger picture, and I think TNA has got to start looking at the bigger picture more often, I could be a lot more effective as somebody who goes out there and talks about serious issues. Interesting move there by Mick, Kevin, to obviously the kayfabe wall once again going out the window, but with that, our job, we're critics of the product, but also, yeah, we're fans. I want to say this, Kevin. I love Mick as a person. I've never met the gentleman, but he comes off as very wonderful, great books that are out there. If you can get Countdown to Lockdown, do it. But thoughts on this even concept of Mick being turned heel? And he hasn't been on the last couple weeks anyway, with everybody from EV being fired off in the Jeff Hardy I'm Better Than You contest.
I'm gonna come out and say this. Being from the Long Island area, over the past couple years, I have had the pleasure of meeting Mick on a personal level several times. We've talked about TNA wrestling, which towards the end got a little bit awkward because he's a very genuine person. He's very sincere, very down to earth. He loves wrestling. He loves talking about wrestling, loves talking about everything from history to TV shows. Great guy to talk to and everything. When the subject comes to TNA wrestling, however, I started getting to the point where I didn't want to have that conversation. For obvious reasons, I just think the product has completely gone downhill. As I said earlier, their whole idea of recreating the dying days of WCW doesn't really make a lot of sense on more than one level. As far as what his statement was, I'm curious to know exactly what he means by talk about serious issues, because I'm not sure exactly how that would fit in with the program. But the idea of him coming back as a heel, to be quite honest, take it a step further, what he said about the looking forward as opposed to long term, the big picture. The big picture, he's not on the show anymore. He's backstage. He's working with guys like AJ Styles, Kazarian, Jeff Hardy, people who could definitely benefit from someone in terms of promo work, in terms of maybe not so much ring psychology for everyone, but at least certain aspects in terms of how to sell, how to get the crowd into the matches. I have a hard time seeing how Mick Foley at this point in his career is a viable asset to have on TV. As much as I love the guy, I'm a huge fan. It's best for people in his position at this point, step to the side, make sure that the actual product is fixed before even thinking about making on-camera appearances.
Spug is a very large fan of ECW version 1, as we refer to it around here, with all the inclinations that have been on here. And during his ECW time, Mick did have some of the better promos. The spitting on the WCW World Tag Belt comes to mind, the issues with the Kane Dewey sign back in the day, and then had some great stuff in WWE in the many incarnations that he had. Is Kevin right in the idea that maybe have Tommy Dreamer join Al Snow and D'Lo Brown and Simon Diamond and whomever else may be back there in road agent status, and let him be that aspect? And at one point during Beyond the Mat, the guy said, Barry Baustein, who directed it, said, it's horrible to watch that Mick can't even play with his kids. And is this the point where Mick does say, I'm happy in coming out every so often with Evie and then do this?
I would hope so. What more does the man have to give to wrestling, to be quite honest with you? I mean, he's given his body, his ear, his teeth, his nose. What else does he have to give to wrestling? He doesn't have to give anything else. So I'd rather see him take a spot as a road agent or do something where he could stay at home with his kids and get up and be able to walk.
To me, feelings on Mick Foley, is the time, or does he stick around enough? Because we had hinted at the idea of everyone in EV getting picked off and then having a final showdown of some kind with Tommy Dreamer versus someone from Fortune. Does Mick stick around as a character for that long and then transition out? Would you be happy with that as a fan?
I'd be happy with that as a fan, definitely. Mick he's got a lot of his mind to give to the business. As Doug was saying, you know, there's not much more he can give physically. You know, the dude's actually left an ear in Germany. Not many wrestlers do that. But he's a wealth of knowledge for some of the younger guys, and I'd like to see him stick around in that capacity.
I would love to see it happen. If you haven't read any of Mick's books, get them. Great Christmas present would be awesome. I found the vignettes recently with Brian Kendrick reading from it like it was scripture. Were very cool to see happen. To go into this past week's show, and yeah, we have to, as much as fans are going, nobody cares, dude, look at the ratings. That's for reaction, that the ratings are just, I'm just going, please end the show. Stop running your show in the reaction and making me watch a few minutes of it. But we'll talk about reaction in a minute, because they did have some crazy stuff happen. Witnessed on this show an interesting matchup with Generation Me and The Shore defeating the Motor City Machine Guns, Jay Lethal and Velvet Sky, who, through sources, is not only is she dating Chris Sabin on camera, yes, they're really a couple, so there went the idea of Shane Helms and her reuniting in the company. We had Jeff Jarrett start channeling the Gracie family and the Shamrock and everybody else. We had another firing, and that would have been the former Johnny Polo, the former Scotty the Body, Scott Anthony, everything else in between. That's right, Raven was taken out by Jeff Hardy. The Immortal Bald Spot made it a wonderful appearance to insult Raven on the way out the door. Rhino cut a very interesting promo about how he was the mole. One of the more amazing things we'll address in a second, we have Mickie James defeat Angelina Love. We have the reappearance of Winter. Fans are going, I know that girl. Why do I know her? Yeah, it's Katie Burchill, kids. They've just decided, oh, we're going to go in a different direction and make her a hallucinogenic. Matt Morgan defeated the Nature Boy Ric Flair to earn another shot at the world title of Final Resolution. Douglas Williams actually siding with Matt Morgan in this situation. And the weird moment of the night was none of that. It was a casket challenge match laid out by Abyss, accepted by Shannon Moore, that actually ended in a no contest? How the heck does a casket match end in a no contest? Especially the Pope D'Angelo De Niro, possibly has been hanging out at the Undertaker's house and learned the magic of the coffin, guys.
Brief question. If Summer's back, is she part of the stable with Winter? Or, I mean, if Winter's back, is she part of the stable with Summer, Fall, and Spring?
I think it would be interesting. I mean, you're asking creative to come up with something like that. And it also helps if you're a fan of 500 Days of Summer and you saw Autumn and you were going, wow, yeah, she's a good-looking girl. Sorry, my dog is trying to get to my cats on the other side of a baby gate, and it's not going so well. Every so often I have to clap to get my dog down. To Kevin, overall, first of all, address this casket match thing, because this came up Friday night at a local show I attend that a lot of the people were looking at me going, you know, you've been at TNA for a lot of stuff, Alan, but a casket match that ends in a no contest?
Well, that kind of falls in line with what TNA is all about. They'll have reverse battle royals, last man standing, where that ends, you know, in a pinfall. They just don't follow the actual gimmick that's going on at this point in time. I have no idea where they're going with the whole casket thing. If you're going to have a coffin, your name has to be The Undertaker. It makes no sense for this to just been, a couple of weeks ago, Pope came up with the coffin idea. I don't know how that plays into his character. I'm not exactly sure where they were going with this from the beginning. It just seemed to be an idea of, hey, let's try something different and let's, you know, have about it with the casket. But then the idea of having a bit face Shannon Moore in a casket match before he's going to face Stanley Pope in a casket match at the pay-per-view, what's the benefit of that? The idea of having a gimmick match should be a payoff for some kind of, you know, maybe not a long-running feud, but at least a certain, you know, level where the regular match doesn't work anymore. You have to go to the next level. Shannon Moore? That was just random. I don't really know where that was coming from.
Welcome to TNA booking already in progress. Since you're not a regular, your overall feelings on this direction that TNA is taking with breaking up Team 3D, the Dudley Boys, whatever you want to call them, again, why? It's been like the question that Spug Mace and the rest of the wrestling community, internet wrestling community, have been asking. Any words of wisdom from your end of the world as to why?
I think you used the appropriate word, again, and the next one is why. We've seen this before. This isn't the first time, and especially if you're going to do this, maybe mix up a bit and have, I don't know, Devon be the one who turns heel. So give us something we haven't seen before, at the very least. Unfortunately, as much as I love Team 3D, once again, same thing with Foley and a whole bunch of other guys, we're now at the point where it's time. It's time to call it wrap, at least for, you know, in-ring contribution. Watching the Flair-Morgan, I want to say match, for lack of a better word, Flair's done. And he's been done as far as what he can do in the ring. Yes, he can talk better than a lot of people on the mic even at this point, even when he's not even making sense, which is absolutely amazing. And he can still put on the performance that will get people to, you know, do the lovingly golf clap of, oh, he did the flop again. But at a certain time, you got to realize your body's a shot, you look horrible, and it's kind of like watching, I don't want to say Muhammad Ali in the 80s, but let's say for old-time Mets fans, when you had Willie Mays playing at the end of his career, it's to a point where guys have to learn they need to walk away. As far as why they think people care about Team 3D, I haven't a clue.
Well, to Spug, as mentioned, Spug is a fan of the original ECW. This has happened before. It's happened in WWE due to, I believe it was the brand split where you had... Yeah, you know, Brother Devon and Deacon Batista and, oh, God, I was just had a shiver from flashbacks there. Tell me, Spug, pretty please, with sugar on top, that this thing ends possibly at Final Resolution, that we do not see months and months of Ray versus Devin.
I would hope. I would hope, but, you know, it is TNA here. We're not talking about the smartest booked product on in wrestling. You know, the better thing to do, if you really want to make Team 3D hang it up, the best thing to do is to give them one more title run, let them go out, and be done with it.
But instead we get something like this. To Mace, please tell me you have Dixie Carter's number, or you have Russo, or you have somebody's number that you found through all the files that you view over a day, that you can get some sense into this, that the audience does not want to see Ray versus Devin?
Look, I've been trying, but they won't take my calls anymore. You know, for some reason I've fallen out of favor with the TNA executives. So, you know, I can't really pass along those messages for you anymore, Alan, but, yeah, I'll keep trying, man. It's the best I can do. Hopefully we can stop this horrible thing before it happens.
Oh, I wish we would. For once, reaction was actually something worth watching, just to watch Generation Me and the Motor City Machine Guns beat the living snot out of each other for a... I think the clock was running at 8-10 minutes of this stuff. I mean, at one point, my mom came out of the room to get a drink, and she's like, hey, they're brawling. And then she went in the room and came back out. I was like, hey, they're still brawling. I was like, uh-huh. Like, what, over what? And they're like, Yeah, you're making me want to remember what happened at the beginning of Impact Kids. And, yeah, that actually happened in the earlier portion of the show. The Guns were challenging them to an empty arena issue. To me, since Kevin, you and I are more the TNA enjoyers than the Spud guy, your overall thoughts on this empty arena thing, and it harkens back to the days of Jerry Lawler in Memphis, that when this was done and other promotions that have pulled it off. But these four kids just nearly murdered each other in that arena.
It was an empty arena?
I just don't recall this. Okay, well, it happens when your DVR suddenly goes, all right, the show's over, goodbye.
Okay. To Kevin.
Yeah, to Kevin. I mean, was this worth watching? Should they have saved this for Impact next week to open the show, or this coming Thursday? I mean, as we said, I think you, I, and a couple guys in Canarsie are the only ones watching Reaction right now.
To be honest, I completely missed Reaction, and I had watched this on YouTube.
All right.
Unfortunately, it was up there. From what I heard, they are replaying it, I'm guessing, this Thursday, so that the one who obviously wouldn't watch the Reaction can catch it. TNA, when they try something different, they usually hit a home run, and that was insane. The amount of action, how brutal it seemed, it felt very realistic. If they can pull that stuff off like that on a more consistent basis, I'm all for it. Obviously, I don't want to see an empty arena match anytime soon, but Motor City Machine Guns are probably the MVPs of the company for this year. It seems like every time they need something big to happen in terms of a quality match, Motor City Machine Guns are right there. But I was very impressed, and I would say that maybe if they had this at the beginning of an Impact as the first run of it, it might have been a little bit better, because obviously they would have had a little bit more of an audience. But, you know, I guess they felt it probably didn't go with the flow of the show.
There are many dangers in doing something like this, as you saw. On a technical aspect, Bug, in a live situation like this, where there is no crowd noise to mass calling spots, take us into the mind of a wrestler, since you have been in the ring, Mace has been in the ring, I've been near a ring, but how hard is this to pull off on the fly, and how are you just doing body signals to your partner in the ring? What's the best way to work something like this?
Oh, you have the crowd in your head. You have the crowd in your head, because the only thing you're going to do, you're going to work the match the way you would work a match even if a crowd was there. You do it just like you would do in practice or at training, when your trainer would look at you and say, I want an 8-minute match with this, this, and this. Go. And you would have to ad lib. It just goes back to the basics. That's all it does. I would rather see more matches where they're called in the ring or done strictly by, for lack of a better term, feel for the way the match is going.
To me, Hogan on his twit, but when he was not talking about it, the future Mrs. Hogan, the current Mrs. Hogan, and other social media has actually mentioned that he was going to see some more realism in TNA. If this is the first step of it, how real do you want things to get, and how real can it get before we start seeing a MASH unit over at the Impact Zone?
How would you go about that? I'm not too sure. Like, how real do I want it to get? Do I want to see, like Spug and I were joking about during the UFC pay-per-view, Rampage Jackson eating babies? I don't know. Personally, I believe wrestling's always been fantasy. You get away with a lot of things that can never be done in real life. And the whole thing is, you do a suspension of disbelief. If you begin to bring too much reality in it, it's going to drain from the product. So you're really sitting on a very narrow ledge when it comes to that, in my opinion. You don't want to go too real, but at the same time, you don't want to be too much of a fantasy either.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, Matt Hughes finally woke up. The pay-per-view so far, and I know we're a couple weeks away. Main event is Jeff Hardy versus Matt Morgan, part two, with a special referee, which will probably be named, if not this Thanksgiving evening, the week after. Possibly we'll see the Guns versus Gen Me again, rather see a new team in there, but hey, looks like we're going to get another match of Robbie E defending the X Division Championship against Jay Lethal. There's a spoiler involved there that I won't go into, let's put it this way. Cookie is going to have a very unique view of the match. By her win defeating Angelina Love, big shock, Mickey James is the number one contender for the Knockouts title, and will be taking on Madison Rain. Before we let Kevin go, you mentioned Dixie Carter and an attractiveness factor. It looks as if we're going to have Tara as a cougar character. We've seen her mingling with Gen Me. We're all guys here, and we do have a lot of guy listeners, and there may be some women that are going, well, we don't really care for women's wrestling like that. Well, I'm sorry, for a second there, the characterization that they're using for the former Victoria, Lisa Verone, fan of this, or are you going, why? Just let her get in the ring and wrestle, man.
Yeah, how am I going to answer this one? As far as the wrestling fan that I am, just let her get into the ring and wrestle. I feel this is kind of beneath her. She's been one of my favorite female wrestlers over the past decade. I had a pleasure meeting her a couple of times. Very interesting person. There's a lot of going outside of the business. In ring, I've always thought she was very spectacular. I know injuries kind of, I don't want to say slowed her down, but I guess that's probably the best way to put it. Yeah, as far as the guy that I am, it's interesting to say the least. I believe this all started from where a couple weeks ago she had a parent where she was actually wearing a shirt that said Cougar, that was kind of flattering for her. So I don't know if that was how this whole storyline was built off of. Is it necessary? I don't know. It goes the whole thing about the way they handle the Knockouts now, where it seems like everyone's been told, look, you either have to look slutty or you're not going to be on TV. Now, you can see how Taylor Wilde has drastically changed her appearance as of late. It's just one of those things that's the nature of the business.
So obviously we're not going to be seeing a possible return of Hamada to TV. There was a recent story, and I know Spugen Nation may play hallelujah music for this one, but there is this thing going around the sites, including OWW Genesis, that there is creative is thinking of getting rid of completely of the Knockout Tag Team Championships.
Yes.
So, you know, that would be the gentleman from Ohio chiming in. It kind of sucks, but you know, what are you going to do? I would like to see Hamada back on TV. Dutch Mantel, if you get a chance to watch the Guest Booker DVD, kayfabecommentaries.com, actually puts over the idea that if he had rebooted TNA in January, that was one of his main feuds, was involving Hamada and her rival in Japan, and that would be the Awesome Kong, who's no longer here in the company.
That hurts.
Sad to say, but it's another experiment that failed, guys, I guess. You know, women, as Kevin said, Mace, women, you've got to either have the boobage or the other. I mean, this might not be happening if you had, Daphne obviously injured, and then you had Roxy in and out on contract, and you lost Kong due to the Bubba the Love Sponge incident, but it's almost a conversation we seem to have every week on this show, Mace. Women's wrestling, it's almost like a circular thing. One minute it's like, yay, we want the women on, and the next minute it's like, we want them in bras and panties and jello, and bring Mae Young back, why don't we?
Hey, I ain't gonna complain about that. Hell, even bring Mae Young back. She's amusing.
have her back with Frisco and Patterson, why not?
Well, I have a legitimate question.
Uh-oh.
Now, seriously, you make fun of us because I said, I have no use for the Knockouts tag team title. But when you don't have a Knockouts division and Mace quit breathing like a pedophile, when you have no Knockouts division, what use do you have for a belt like a Knockouts tag team title?
Well, it's also how much is Creative willing to put into it. As mentioned, you lost Kong. You're not bringing Hamada on. Sarita's here or there. First she's a hater, now she's a liker. You've got Becky Bayless sitting there, Cookie involved. I guess Lacey's gone. You're supposed to have Miss Tessmacher, Brooke Adams, being trained by Lacey, which is an interesting storyline there. And it's only as much as Creative wants to put into it, I guess. But Russo and Conway and whoever else got the pen right now. This is the same group that at one point, for fans that I remember, Russo actually wanted the late Miss Elizabeth to wrestle. And it was like, okay, no, she leave it there. I mean, is there a point that possibly we may actually see, we mentioned Dixie Carter making a return. Do we see eventually Dixie Carter, heaven forbid, as a competitor? Would that be like the ultimate taboo for this company right now, to have the president actually competing?
That hurt my heart hearing that.
Okay. Did it?
I honestly can't imagine the scenario of that coming across. But you've seen stranger things, so you can never say never.
No, I mean, could we possibly see Spugger Mace of an Eric Bischoff versus Dixie Carter match in the next couple months?
Why? Do you want to kill all credibility of your company? They're close enough. I wouldn't, and I said it. You can pull the tape after I watched that January 4th episode last year, and I know I said it on the air when we did the post show. I said within 2 years that company will be bought by WWE with the way that episode went, and they're real close. But why? Why would you kill all credibility in your company by doing something like that?
I mean, not for nothing. They have an invisible character right now. So, I mean, they obviously don't care about credibility as much as trying to see what will stick. And unfortunately, I guess there might be a segment that actually wants to see her wrestle for some bizarre, crazy reason.
Yeah, I mean, she did say, in her defense, she did say on the live U shoot that Sean Oliver did, who will be back in the next few weeks to do a year-end wrap-up, hopefully with us. But she, in her defense, said, nope, never going to see me in that situation. But as we've already discussed, you're never saying never. I mean, come on, who would have ever thought David Arquette would have been a world champion, or Vince Russo, or Vince McMahon, or Stephanie McMahon as a woman's champion? I mean, it's just one of those situations, just sitting there going, yeah, I don't want to see that, but if it happens, what am I really going to do to stop it, Mace?
I have no idea, dude. I've blanked out, sorry.
I mean, could you, would there be an interest in your mind in a Dixie Carter professional wrestler to come back and
fight for
her company? Yeah, so it's unanimous. If you're listening, TNA Creative, let Dixie stay where Dixie is. We like her in the president role. Before we let Kevin go, an interesting note came across this past week that if you happen to podcast us overseas, if you live in the United Arab Emirates, get out your almanac and your global book and we'll tell you where it is. You can actually see TNA Wrestling Live the 28th, 29th, and 30th of November. They will be at the Abu Dhabi Golf and Equestrian Club. Appearing on this is pretty much some of the big names of the company: Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett, the phenomenal AJ Styles, Motor City Machine Guns, Pope the Angelo De Niro, Madison Rain, Samoa Joe, Abyss, The Beautiful People, Beer Money, Jay Lethal, Brian Kendrick, Douglas Williams, Shannon Moore, Orlando Jordan, and more. There was also a note that they've had some issues with their UK TV that I believe they're switching off of Bravo and going back to Sky. We're going to Sky and going to Bravo. And is it a little weird, Mace, since you are international, that this kind of... Is this the right thing to do, to go to these countries and build this international market? Like, I mean, according to Jeff Jarrett, when he talked on the King of the Mountain DVD, he talked, you know, like, from day one, we had a great international product and it was out there. And you live in Australia, you have friends that watch the product, TNA's not coming there at this moment, we're working on that. But is this a good approach for them to do, to take it to this global level? Or is this, you know, you're 8 years in, maybe another year or so, get your American product fixed before you go international?
Probably go with the fix your product at home before you take it on the road type deal. But then again, we were promised a tour back in February last year, but got nicked due to the Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff joining TNA deal. So, hey, these guys are going to run their companies whichever way they like, whether it's a good decision or bad decision. They're the ones that are going to have to put up with it in the long run. So, yeah, personally, I'd say don't do it. Fix product at home first. But, hey, they're going to do what they want.
Well, to spug real quick, I mean, we addressed this a few weeks ago when TNA had canceled events that were supposed to happen this past weekend in Evansville, Indiana, and in Indianapolis, that in January, they have this whole European thing laid out. I think it's called Maximum Impact. It almost sounds like an old Jean-Claude Van Damme 90s movie for a title. Maximum Something with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And is Mace right that they shouldn't even be thinking international tours, get the U.S. product fixed? Or is it because, as WWE's model does, they hit a European or Asian area that they haven't hit in months, and the area is just so hungry for wrestling, they'll go to it, even if it is the drizzling blah.
There are areas in the United States that are that hungry for wrestling. There are areas in the United States that want wrestling and a consistent show. You know, why go to, and this isn't a slight, but why go to Europe? Why go to Abu Dhabi? Why go to Australia? Why go to Japan? Why go to Africa, Asia, Russia, Siberia? I don't care. You have no fan base and following worth a damn in the United States because you fail to build your product here first. This is a company who still doesn't tour on a regular basis in venues and do pay-per-views on a regular basis at venues outside of Orlando Studios, Florida. Why are you going across the pond?
And that brings up an interesting point as we talk about Jim Barcelone, and we teased it because I wanted Kevin to chime in on it since he's as big a fan of TNA as I am. It was very funny to watch Monday Night Raw last night in the brand new Amway Center and have, I think one of my friends told me there was 16,000 there, and that's the one with the arena cut off. And one of the first people to hit the ring in a match was, oh yeah, that former guy who used to work for you, Ron Killings, coming out. I mean, TNA can't draw that in Orlando, and they're giving the tickets away. We've said it here before, Kevin, and you and I have talked about this in private chats online. If you can't draw what WWE does, you're never going to be competition.
Right. I think the major issue is all about perception. They look at, obviously WWE is the number one company by far, without question. No one could ever even try to draw comparisons on that kind of level. But because they have their own set system where they have the 12 pay-per-views a year. They do have the tours to Europe. They do have certain things where they've have something that's tradition for them that shouldn't be a concern for a company that's only 8 years old. That's where TNA fails so miserably. They're trying to compete with something that's been around for, you know, several generations, where they are in a real corporation at this point. TNA is just a company. They're a corporation. And you're a little guy trying to model yourself after them without remembering it took many years for them to get to that point. you know, the way that they're trying to base their own company off of something that was created at least after 30-something years up north. For what I'm completely blown away by the fact that TNA does have a lot going for it, and I think they actually realize that, but yet still, they seem to do everything possible to shoot themselves in the foot. Like, I went to a house show a while back, I think right after the whole Hogan Bischoff era started, where I bought tickets the last day, I think, of the sale. I think the show was the very next night. I was in front row. That's a little embarrassing. They really need to start promoting the product. They have to get that out. As you said before, the American market is non-existent. They have no presence whatsoever. You hear the stories about wrestlers at conventions, people come up and going, hey, how come you're not wrestling anymore? I'm like, yeah, I'm on TNA the past 5 years. That's a little embarrassing for the wrestlers themselves, let alone the company image.
Yeah, but they had shows in Michigan recently that they had 150 people there. And
right.
I go to a show here in Tampa at All Stars Wrestling in a billiard hall, and
exactly. That's
sometimes what we're getting. And that's for an indie show. I mean, this is the number two company in the country. You know, ROH is almost dead, depending on financially what you see. And I'm just judging from an atmosphere. I'm not saying it that I have firsthand knowledge. But, you know, Dragon Gate and Evolve are out there. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's out there. You've got, you know, Pro Wrestling Fusion here in Florida. NYWC, where you are on Long Island. There's promotions where Spug is all through Ohio and Illinois and Indiana. And is it the whole formula of, as the Springsteen song goes, one step ahead, two steps behind? It just seems that way, doesn't it?
It is the issue in terms of how they're presenting the product, and, you know, obviously management's making pretty much every wrong decision to possibly make. But at the very same time, as I've, you know, I come back to at the very end of the day, it's all about, can the wrestlers do their job effectively in terms of connecting with the audience? I watched Raw, I actually finally saw Raw early this morning, I think, and I watched the Cena promo. He had more heart in that, which obviously was not the most realistic of situations, but he showed more heart in that than I've seen in TNA in quite some time. That's embarrassing. That's why WWE has this strong product, where they do have a fan base that will always be loyal to them. That's why after not watching the product for, I want to say probably about 2 years or so, I got back into it almost instantly. There was that connection. They made me care about characters. I watched TNA with some of my favorite wrestlers. You have Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, and I really don't care what's going on with them. That's where they fail.
Yeah, and we still have an APB out for Desmond Wolfe. If you've seen this gentleman, he is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. His fans do care about him. Please call us or write radio@allmyworldofwrestling.com if you can find him. We want to thank Kevin for stopping by tonight. PoughkeepsieJournal.com is where you can find his contributions to Phil Strum's blog, Under the Ring. We wish Phil could have been here tonight, but the real job takes precedence sometimes when you cover high school and professional sports. So have a good holiday, Kevin, and we'll talk again possibly after the pay-per-view.
Hold on real quick. Kevin, you are a Jets fan, correct?
I'm a Giants fan who also likes the Jets.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brief question.
Sure.
When are the Jets scheduled to have that horseshoe that is shoved up their rectum surgically removed?
I think it's in February in Dallas.
Probably will be about that time. The Jets are a great team, except they're not playing. They're playing to level their opponents. When they playing to their level, they might actually do something great.
We gave the Jets all they could handle and more. Chancey Stuckey doesn't fumble that ball, that's a Browns win.
Oh, definitely. The last 4 weeks of Jets wins have been situations where the other team, especially the Lions game, which was just got awful, they've been a situation where they should have, they really should have won those games by 20 points if we're going to talk about how good they could be. But they had to depend on, you know, late fumbles, the penalty that someone was knocked out of bounds with like 5 feet off the sideline. they had to have the other teams beat themselves. I do think, though, that they are a great team, and they might actually get a chance to show it, hopefully, before the season's over.
I would hope so, but you got to make it through New England, buddy. And
not happening.
Good.
You never know. So thanks for coming on tonight on short notice. We appreciate it, Kevin.
Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Take care, everybody.
Take care. That is Kevin K. Scott, PoughkeepsieJournal.com, who doesn't work for the paper, but does add special contributions to a very good product, Under the Ring, by Phil Strum. If you're just joining us, where have you been? Apparently, the former Miss April, also known as AJ Lee, also known as AJ, apparently has been eliminated from NXT, and it's Caitlyn and Naomi Knight. Yawn. Feel bad for the ladies there, but what can we do? Due to a birthday weekend, I was not able to watch the UFC 120. Three, I believe they're up to.
Yes.
My mom celebrated 61st birthday, and a lot of fun there for her this weekend. Not as much fun watching the Giants on Sunday Night Football, but hey.
That was great. I watched that game too. I watched the Giants Eagles, two teams that I have no vested interest in whatsoever, over watching Survivor Series.
But you did, however, watch this UFC event. You and Mace did, and Mace said you guys actually could do your own play-by-play routine instead of Rogan and the other gentlemen that are involved there. In a PG-rated version of this.
It was PG. Okay. All I have to say is Sean McCorkle.
Clue the fans in, please, as to what you're talking about.
Well, all right. So we're watching the pay-per-view, and it was, I want to say it was during the Harris McKell Falco fight, which quite honestly was the most boring. Yeah, it was the most boring, horrible fight on that card. It was absolutely atrocious. You know, they're showing the pre-fight interviews, and both of them are talking about how they're going to knock the other one out, and it, you know, it's going to be a slugfest. And Mason and I are like, this ought to be a good fight. Dude, it was horrible. Harris, I don't know if you've ever played Mortal Kombat, like the newer ones where you can do the different fight styles.
Harris, we'll just roll with it and say yes.
Yeah, the Harris looked like he was doing the drunken monkey boxing.
Oh, God.
He did. It was absolutely atrocious. And so Mace and I start checking out the fight card for 124, which is GSP versus Josh Koscheck, which is December 11th on pay-per-view. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm all excited about the GSP fight. And so we start looking at the undercard, and we're like, oh, there's really not anybody we recognize. And then I see two names. Stefan Struve, who looks like an abomination, fighting Sean Big Sexy McCorkle. McCorkle. And I just have two questions. One, how do you get the nickname Big Sexy with the last name of McCorkle? And two, why not at the age of 18, don't you change that to Smith? For Christ's
McCorkle.
It almost sounds like a TV character. Hey, McCorkle's coming over, and then laugh track as he enters the room.
Oh, dude.
We had to double check to make sure he wasn't a ginger.
I literally had to go double check to make sure that this guy wasn't a ginger, because it would have made it all the more funny. And then, of course, during the Rampage Machida fight. Look at him, Mace. He looks like he's about to eat him.
Rampage Jackson had everything from eating babies to punching out women in the first row.
Oh, yeah.
and then hiding a knife and fork and a napkin on his chest.
I was like, because every camera angle when he would have Machida pressed up against the cage or he was facing off with Machida, every camera angle was at Rampage's back. And I said, see? See? He's got a napkin and a knife and a fork on his chest. He's ready to eat him. They're just not going to show it.
And there was one point Machida was trying to get into a crucifix mouth or something. And Rampage is just looking at him going, just looking at the roof going, are you done yet?
Mm-hmm. It was probably in the final minute of the third round. Machida had taken Rampage down and had him in a pretty advantageous position for Machida. And he's laying on top of him. He's trying to put the Kimura in. He's got the other arm locked with his legs. And he's laying on top of Jackson. And Jackson literally is looking up at the ceiling. Just laying there. Like, are you done? He moved one arm and Machida went, like, rolling off. And the thing that Mason and I couldn't figure out is, yes, Rampage won by decision. But watching the fight, we had it round one and two to Rampage and round three to Machida. We were backwards. We were apparently wrong, because Machida apparently won the first round and Rampage won the third one. Which Mason and I could not understand whatsoever. How did Rampage... You had to have watched the fight to understand, but Rampage thoroughly dominated the first two rounds of the fight and most of the third.
And I believe it was Matt Hughes that was knocked out on one punch. Is that confirmed?
That fight was, what, 18 seconds, Mace?
Yeah, something like that. The BJ Penn fight.
Yep.
That you were so happy about.
FBJ.
In what regard? Oh, because you're a fan of Hughes or a hater of Penn?
I don't like BJ Penn. I think he's an arrogant, egotistical prick. He fought GSP about a year and a half ago for the welterweight title or the middleweight title. For the title that GSP holds and lost. It got dominated. Just got his arse beat thoroughly. And his whole thing was after the fight. He said that GSP had cheated, that he oiled up and greased up with some sort of oil, and that Penn himself couldn't get a good grip on GSP. And I started laughing because you watched the last three fights of Penn's career, minus this Matt Hughes fight the other night. He fought Frankie Edgar and got thoroughly dominated and beaten. He fought... Oh, my God, who did he fight before Edgar? He fought somebody else before Edgar and got thoroughly dominated and beaten. You know, the fight that was two fights before the Edgar fight, he won, but at various points in the fight, he was getting the snot knocked out of him. He's lost a step or two in the octagon. And yet the dude wants to walk around like he's GSP or he's a Brock Lesnar or a Cain Velasquez or someone who is at the top of their game right now.
And the next event is in December 11th, you mentioned?
Well, there's the free-for-view on Spike, which is the UFC finale on December 4th. And then December 11th. December 11th is the next pay-per-view. It's 124, and the main event is George Rush St. Pierre versus Josh Koscheck, which I will invite you again, Alan. I know you were busy this past weekend, and happy birthday to your mom, but I will invite you again because Mason and I will be here at 10 p.m. Eastern to sit down and watch the fight together, so you are thoroughly welcome to come watch it with us.
We'll see. I'm not 100% sure where I will be December 10th. I do know where I will be December 3rd and 4th, and we'll get to that in a second. But unfortunately, we do have to mention the passing of a couple of gentlemen, and normally we open the show with this, but I felt it would be better to close the show with this. If you're a fan of the Michinoku Pro product overseas, the name Grand Nanawa may mean something to you. We found out through our international contacts he passed away at the age of 34 due to myocardial blockage. So we wish him and his family the best. And One of the bigger shocks of anything, if you're a fan of Lucha Libre USA, which will be coming back, they are doing a taping at their new home, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I believe December 12th. Unfortunately, they'll be minus Chris Long. That name means nothing to you. Marco Corleone, Mark Jindrak, when he was on our show, spoke about Chris Long, who worked for the company as Solid. Apparently, Mr. Long was shot and killed over the weekend. He had worked for Lucha Libre USA and also the Georgia independent scene. Long was a bouncer at a adult establishment, strip club in Doraville, Georgia. And the current unconfirmed belief is that three individuals were ejected from the club, returned later in the evening, and opened fire on Mr. Long, resulting in his passing. Long actually had tweeted in the hours following the incident, three a-holes just jobbed out to the bouncers at the door. R.J. Brewer gave his thoughts. If you go to his Facebook page, Marco Corleone tweeted, "Solid Chris, you will be missed, my friend. Your passion for life, family, and wrestling will be missed. A big guy with an equally big heart, and we extend our condolences to Mr. Long's friends and family, wherever they may be." As I mentioned, we already have a stacked show for next week. We were hoping to have Lance Hoyt on, and I apologize for that. He may appear on the December 7th event. This coming Tuesday is actually going to be a special Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup edition of the show. Yes, we'll talk all the things of WWE and TNA. TNA as they head to Final Resolution next Sunday. The Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup is a two-day 16-man cruiserweight tournament, which is in honor of Jeff Peterson, who is a former cruiserweight star himself, who wrestled out of Jim Kettner's ECWA and then wrestled for IBW Hardcore in NWA Florida before he was passed away of cancer in 2002 at the age of 21. His friends, including Ron Nemi, Naftali, Aaron Royal, Honest Eddie Edwards, who was the commissioner of IPW Hardcore back in the day, along with some other folks, established this event in 2003. Some names that have appeared at it in the past include current WWE superstar CM Punk, current TNA superstar of the future Chris Sabin, Motor City Machine Guns. He won the 2005 event. Last year's winner was Davey Richards. Also winners in the past include Eric Stevens, Chris Hero, Milano Collection AT, Reckless Youth, who won the event in 2003. It's an amazing event. Every year it is an event that will raise money for charities. You can go to fullimpactpro.com to make donations. You can get ticket information. You can purchase previous events. The event will be December 3rd in Brooksville, Florida, Saturday, December 4th in Crystal River, Florida. Already booked for our show next week include competitors in the tournament, the anarchist Eric Cannon, former FIP World Tag Team Champion Christopher Gray, the former Florida Heritage Heavyweight Champion and former WWE Developmental Star Brad Allen, who you may have seen as the campus legend Brad Attitude, one half of the Jersey All-Pro Tag Team Champions. He is a member of the U.S. Death Machine, interesting tag team name there, with his partner Chris Dickinson. Sammy Callahan will join us. And the last person to commit as of today is current ROH and FIP star Grizzly Redwood. We will also be joined, unless his schedule isn't freed up, by the voice of the Peterson Cup and Evolve and Dragon Gate, Mr. Lenny Leonard. We're working on getting some of Jeff Peterson's friends and colleagues from back in the day, one being Francisco Chiazzo, who used to compete in IPW Hardcore under the name of Frankie Capone. Will join us. He'll talk about his I'll Make You Famous challenge that is currently going on in All Stars Wrestling of Florida. So definitely be here for that next week. As always, Wednesday night is Utaku Talk Live with Spug, with the end-all, be-all, the God of Gods, the Omega, and Mace. For fans that are just listening to us for the first time that are going, what's this Otaku Talk Live thing, dude? Well, I'll let Mace give you a preview of what Otaku Talk Live is all about.
It's about anything and everything to do with geekdom. If you're a geek, you play video games, you read comic books, you watch anime, you just generally play World of Warcraft, as Spug and I have probably been doing all through this episode. Yeah, this is a show for you. We have no idea what we're going to talk about until we talk about it, and how long we talk about it goes for how long Spug can rant about it. So the only way to sort of find out what it's like is to tune in 9 p.m. tomorrow night right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
And now to us Americans, and I'm not sure about Mace, but this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful to have all of you listeners each and every week here with us, and the friendships I've made over this past year being a part of this product. However, our friend of the North, Cindy Sin, has Anything Goes. Now, according to her colleague, Sir Rockin, we're not 100% sure if Anything Goes will take place. You'll have to go to our Facebook page or go to wildtalkradio.com to find out. Friday, if he does survive Black Friday, Mav will be here for Running the Ropes at 6 p.m. Looks like CB Radio for episode 151. What's it about? Well, who knows? But definitely go to the archive at wildtalkradio.com for the CB Radio 154-hour special, where, as mentioned, the Godfather, Rob Parks, passed out and snored live on the air for 1 hour. Before that, if you're free, the Trey Dog has the TD Top 20 Country Countdown. That is at 9 p.m. Guessing that's going on, since Sir Rock and our producer didn't say, dude, don't plug it. Well, I'm plugging it anyway. As mentioned on Sunday, it is Sir Rock and it is Rob Parks. It is the Subway. He is a really cool dude. This Sunday, 7 p.m., we will, fingers crossed, have the debut of Life is Callous with former backseat boy Johnny Casimir and his colleague Larry Dallas. They will have the original Flash. If you're a fan of the TV show, John Wesley Shipp will be stopping by. This Sunday, 10 p.m., since there is no pay-per-view, Tim Stein, Mace, Spug, Will, and Omega will be back with Russell Talk Radio. And unfortunately, due to Lou Gallows doing an interview with WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, he canceled all his other bookings. So if you're counting on listening to Lou Gallows this Sunday night, you're sadly disappointed, and I'm just as pissed off as everybody else. And as mentioned, Mace wears many hats on this network. He does this show, and we're thankful for him being here. He does contribute to Russell Talk Radio. He does contribute to A Talk of Talk Live. But as you heard during our program with a commercial, he does have a downloadable podcast that is known as Bashing the Books. Now, if they stepped away for the moment to refresh their beverage, give a rundown what a Bashing the Books is all about.
Bashing the Books is basically a sort of semi-review show for comic books that have just come out this week. I know at least one book, which I will be reviewing from last week's list, unfortunately, due to problems with my local comic book distributor, I am no longer going to them directly, so I'm still looking for a new place to get my books. So in the meantime, I'm relying on online scans, and one of the books I desperately wanted to review last week is not out, so I'm going to have to go and get that myself. That is one of the World of Warcraft books based around the new Worgen races coming out with Cataclysm. Other than that, I have no idea what I'm going to review this week, so it's usually out by the end of the week, or, you know, by the end of the weekend. So just head over to the archive section of wildtalkradio.com and you'll be able to find out what I'm reviewing.
And we're still working the kinks out if you're fans of hockey, including Tim Stein and myself, and you're sitting there going, dude, you did an episode of the hockey show. Where is it? Well, you need to email Tim Stein at admin@wildtalkradio.com, because I really don't know either. We do know, apparently, that there will be a new podcast coming in an MMA format that I believe Bug is called Tap Out to Knockout. Is this true, Mace? Are you part of this endeavor?
Yes, for the moment, it's going to be Spug and myself. As you did hear earlier, Spug talking MMA, and We do watch the pay-per-views almost religiously at the moment. It's just basically going to be reviews of pay-per-views, just thoughts on what's going on in things like The Ultimate Fighter. Hopefully we'll be able to get some MMA guys in to be interviewed, sort of learn more about the sport. Spug's like the big knowledge guy about it. I'm the guy who's just starting to learn. We're planning tap-outs to knockouts, hopefully whenever we can sort of pin down a time and a producer to record it. Looking at you, Mr. Rock. We'll keep you up to date.
And as always, we're here Tuesday nights on My World of Wrestling Radio. You can go to owwradio.com, wildtalkradio.com to get each and every podcast of this event. We also podcast on clickwrestle.com, which is an on-demand site that is a sister company to onmyworldofwrestling.com. Thanks as always to Jason Bedrich and Brad Dykens, who give me the coolest job in the world each and every week. I get to talk about pro wrestling and other endeavors. Thanks to Kevin Scott for being here on short notice. Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald. You can go to PoughkeepsieJournal.com for Kevin Scott's Under the Ring contributions. TheMiamiHerald.com. Spug and Mace. And, of course, the man known as Trent Reznor on the way out. One of my favorite songs by Nine Inch Nails is Terrible Lie. And hopefully we won't have any lying in the near future on this network. I'm Alan Wojcik. Happy Thanksgiving if you're in America. And we'll talk next week.
Alan.
Yeah.
Brief question.
Favorite
thing besides football and food that you can't live without on Thanksgiving?
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, man. I love watching that thing, and my two-year-old gets to watch it for the first time this year.
Hell yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I really don't know.